When you place an order on Amazon.com, your deliveries come almost as fast as if Jeffrey was throwing them over the glass wall to you. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cisternino here with another Opposite Worlds exit interview today. So, for those of you guys who have been following the Opposite Worlds, I know it's not everybody, but there are a lot of people out there who are into it or at least watching it up until Survivor comes on just to hear the podcast, and we do appreciate that. So what we've been trying to do is get these exit interviews for you guys. Now, I'm a day behind the pace. I got back last night from San Francisco. I went up there for the Stitcher Awards. I had dinner with a couple of friends from Patreon who were very nice to take me out, so that was really great as well. So, fun trip up in San Francisco. Did not come home with the Stitcher Award, but I do appreciate everybody who voted for us. Kevin Smith, the director of Clerks and stuff like that, he has a whole podcast network, Smodcast. They ended up winning the award, but I really, really appreciate all the support from Rob Has a Planet. Whenever we go up against these people in the awards, I really, really appreciate that. So I had a fun trip, but I am back and back on the case talking about Opposite Worlds. And today we're going to speak with Wyatt Werneth, who was the latest person who was eliminated from Opposite Worlds. And we're going to talk to him in just a second. And it was a blindside on Opposite Worlds this week when Wyatt did not think he was going into the Duel of Destiny, but Team Epoch, they decided to throw him in anyway, and he ended up losing to Jesse in the Duel of Destiny. So we're going to talk to Wyatt in just a second. When we come back after the interview, I'll tell you about what a big week it is coming up on Rob Has a Podcast next week. But we have Wyatt on the line, so let's go ahead and patch him in. Wyatt, you're on with Rob Cisternino.
All right, great. Thank you.
Great. Wyatt, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Hey, no worries, man. Excited. Privilege.
Yeah. Well, Wyatt, first off, thank you very much for your service to the country. We all really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much for that. And looking forward to talking about some of this Opposite Worlds with you.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for recognizing.
Yeah. And now there were some people, I don't think, who did appreciate you very much. And those were the people who were in your wolf pack who decided to throw you into the Duel of Destiny without telling you ahead of time. I know you seemed pretty upset about that on Wednesday night. Have you mellowed your feelings at all towards them?
What I have done in the time that I've been is understand to myself that maybe I took it a little personal because, you know, we are in a game. I guess the biggest problem I was having was so early in the game, we needed to keep the wolf pack intact in order to get to the future. And I thought they understood that strategy, and I was just really upset that they just, you know, like the father trying to tell people to stay out of the rain, the kids, they went out anyway, you know? And there I was, so I was a little upset about it. But I'm cool.
So as you understood it, what was the plan supposed to be on Wednesday night? That who was Lauren supposed to put up?
Well, it was discussed. What a lot of people don't realize, and I watched some of the stories that were going on earlier, you know, we were together for quite a while. It wasn't just what you guys saw 5 days before Steve was introduced. We were shivering and dying and starving for more than a week or so prior to that. And at that time, we came together and bonded because we had to suffer, as well as the adversity we went through. We lost a teammate. We had to, you know, endure that. So when we made this pact, it was strong because we were going through this hell together. And the idea was, and we discussed it, that there was a new member brought in. It would be an easy decision for the protected to make. And it was a no-brainer that we put that person in because they haven't gone through everything that we've gone through. That's where the merit talk came in. While we were there, we all took on special roles. Andrew was cooking, and I was kind of creating everything from the toilet system to a swing to making comfort and so on, and the others had their roles. So to have the new person come in was zero. You had to lose that person or put that person up in a 50-50 chance that we might lose them was not a great risk for us. It was a strategic tactic that we were ready to take. The answer to your question, they sideswiped me. They never gave me forth warning on anything, and all of a sudden I started getting the feeling. And even the other team seemed like they knew. Jeffrey threw me over a candy bar, much like he's been doing with JR, and said, "Good luck, Wyatt." I'm like, "You know, well, you know, I don't know." So I was really sideswiped by that, and you got to understand my disappointment in the way that they handled that.
I almost wish that they would have shown us some of the people doing the strategy of coming up with putting you in there, because I kind of feel like that as a viewer, we were a little bit blindsided because we don't know who came up with this plan. Do you have a sense of who were the people who were really pushing for this and who ultimately made this decision?
Absolutely. I have to think Steve comes in. Steve was very vocal about his experience with reality television all the way to being able to, at one point, having reviewed and written and interviewed some players from other reality shows.
Ooh.
And one of the things that was on the table was always the old guy goes first. That came up in a conversation. So I was the old guy, and ageism was making a play, and he convinced them, I believe, somewhere across the lines in conversation he was having. And therefore I was the most likely, you know, it was obvious I was on the chopping block, or at least put into that the 50-50 chance that they could lose me.
Very interesting. I hope we get to see more of that, because that is, you know, very interesting developments with to have these new players come into the game, because had Mercy come onto your team instead of Steve, probably a totally different story.
Well, absolutely. I think that they would have adhered to the pack. You know, I was trying to be really cool about, you know, I have leadership skills and everything, and I just more tried to be a provider. And like I said, I made comfort. I made the ladies a toilet seat for the pooper and all the stuff that we did with that. I had to try to stop a leak in the cave when it was raining. I built stuff to make that a community. And instead of taking a in charge, do this, do that, I let everybody kind of have free roaming, you know, minds and everything with a little bit of comfort that we had already made a pact and that we would roll that way. So absolutely, I think that had someone not come in there, much like I think Steve did, kudos to Steve, he's playing the game, you know. He went in there and just turned that upside down, which I really think is a mistake for them, because they really thought about it. They needed me. They needed to keep the wolf pack tight to go into the next adventure with the World Challenge to get into the future, where now they don't have me and their chances are a little less at this point.
Wyatt, did you agree with the strategy to put Jesse up from the future team, to put from Team Kronos into the challenge? Did you agree? I think that was the right way to go?
No, I actually, with the rivalry that had kind of spurred from Charles and the feelings I had about that, I really think, honestly, you know, great television would have been Jesse and I at the end, the final challenge.
It's, yeah,
challenge of the century, and I wanted to save Jesse. I wanted that to marinate. I think that we should have, because of tactics, art of war, the fact that we were on the weak side, we should have started taking off all their weak people like we did, and it was very successful with Angela going against Rachel. They still had weak players, and we should have picked them off. I explained it to the team, which they didn't show on TV. A general asked the commander to take the hill. The commander is wise enough to say, "General, we can't take that hill. We are undernourished. We don't have supplies. We don't have enough ammunition. But we can go around the corner here and take this outpost, knock them out very easily, steal their provisions, get a morale boost, and then later we'll take that mountain." And they threw that to the wind. They didn't hear me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with what you're saying. I think that that would be the better way to go and try to attack their numbers a little bit, especially because you guys get to control the matchups pretty much every week, because it seems like America, first 90%, then 93%, is giving the deciding rights to the people from the past. So it seems like every week you just could have sent, take their weakest person and put them up against your best person and just get them down to, you know, Frank and Jesse, and then attack them then.
Exactly, and that's the strategy. We could have won that on the cave side. We had the cave life. We made it look too easy. And if we had stuck to that strategy, we could have had the popular vote for being the underdog and everyone feeling sorry for us, which it was. It was miserable, and thank God the America thought felt sorry for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And we could have controlled that from that side. And they were just so hell-bent on getting over to the future, which I believe when they get to the future, things will change, because then the other team will be over there in misery and America will start feeling sorry for them.
Yeah. Could you talk more about the relationship with Fry and JR? As you said, that you knew that he was throwing stuff over the wall. He threw stuff to you too. So could you tell us a little bit more about how much people knew about that?
Well, I got to say, I'm really disappointed in JR. At the point, up until I did some research when I got out, obviously, I was a fan of JR to a degree, and I find that very detrimental to the team in a whole, because he was going out and he was telling us, he was talking to him, and he would come back and give us some information, which we encouraged. The thing that was very selfish and I think bad character for him was that he got food and stuff and did not share that with us. I think we would have been open to that. Yeah, keep going and getting what you're getting, but share it with the team. He hoarded it. When we got the reward for the meal, he ate everything on his plate even then, mm-hmm. and I was hiding food. I hid macaroni and cheese. I had steak in my, you know, my. I put it in my pants, and I went back in, and I was trying to feed everybody. That was the way that we should have been. That just was evidence that the Wolf Pack was not the Wolf Pack starting out, really. So I was really disappointed.
So on Tuesday night's show, Wyatt, there was a scene where you were so confident about that you guys were going to win the Worldly Challenge that you did something to the bathroom, but it wasn't exactly clear what happened. And then I would have loved to have seen what happened when you went back to the camp. Could you just, as politely as possible, talk us through what happened?
Well, as you know, the future had some very accommodating facilities for pooping.
Sure, yeah.
And I had to create ours. So one of the things that I did was I had a very comfortable pooping situation. I downgraded it so that they wouldn't get their hands on it. And in the midst of that, I was going to leave the sewage package intact so when they got there that it would be disgusting for them, because I was what I call the tartar manager. I was going and taking care of the poop and making sure it was cleaned out so that the girls and everyone could go in there and have a nice, clean, healthy, you know, deposit, because there were times where it was getting so gross. You know, I would actually took the poop, I ran outside the compound and threw it out into the woods at times, because we didn't have anywhere, our plumbing was backed up that they had provided, and we were just pooping in a bucket. So I thought that after all the hard work I had done and everything, I wanted these guys to come, the future Team Cronus, to come over and see what we had to deal with, and it would have been quite interesting to see how they would have had to handle that and how they would approach it. So that, I thought that was pretty, it would have been entertaining. Of course, I had to go back and I had to be the one to clean it, but it was my regular tartar duties anyway.
Instead of throwing it outside, did you think about throwing it over the wall like Jeffrey did?
No, I the only thing I really thought about throwing over the wall is we came back and had the big fish heads. And that was a fleeting moment, because we didn't want to, I mean, I wanted to keep integrity. I wanted to play a fair and fun, safe game. And throwing feces over, I mean, it was, that's a health hazard. We really had to,
yeah, it would be.
Yeah, we really, that's why I was, you know, taking charge of the tartar and making sure that it was moved out, because the flies would eat that and then they'd go and get on our food and stuff. And you got to understand, me doing these things and stooping into going into zones and places that no one would go, to have these guys put me up, is what caused my frustration. I mean, anyone that would have been in that situation would have gotten angry and felt that way. It was a personal attack on someone that, and I had a conversation that was aired in video line where my merit was high on the rocks as taking care of the community, where Steve, yes, came in. It's not his fault, but he came in new. Would you take the guy who's been doing everything for you and put him into a 50-50 chance and lose him, or take the new guy that really hasn't done much or hasn't proven himself or doesn't really offer much to lose? They made the wrong decision.
Yeah. How brutal was that challenge on Wednesday night? I know how cold it was during the episode. I mean, we're seeing people's breath. You guys had jackets. How cold was the water when you were going through it, and was that a factor for you?
I owned it. If you saw it, I owned it. I crashed through the wall. I went through in style. I owned it.
Yeah.
I have to think. I wish I could have won it and then been like, Luke, send me home and let Jesse stay. I want Jesse to destroy this team and keep them in the past. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could have replayed that, because I didn't want to go out a loser. As everyone noticed, there's been a lot of comments. Did I throw that? Well, I have to say that there was a higher power that made that decision for me, because when I found out I got out, my family needed me. My wife was very upset. If I had gone another week, my family would have decayed financially and other problems. So I have to think that things happen for a reason. And I owned that. I mean, I showed people that I was superior and I was doing a great job and I was winning that competition. In my mind, I did. And I don't have anything to prove to anyone, only the fact that I did not want to go back to that team. And that superior force, even though I was winning, kind of pushed me in the right direction and allowed Jesse to win.
Yeah,
well, so I'm happy.
Well, I definitely do believe that things happen for a reason and everybody is exactly where they're supposed to be. So you never know with that stuff. And I hope that everything is okay back home.
Absolutely wonderful. I appreciate that. And I think that, you know, the people that watch have been called a crybaby and all of the things that are going down. And, you know, it is what it is. It's reality TV. It's you know, what I was going through. I did take it a little more personal than the game that it is, but I understand that, you know, there's integrity is unity, and these guys aren't going to get very far if they are already playing the games and falling apart. And I understood that we needed to stick together. At least week four, we start turning on each other and eating. You know, that's what I thought.
Right.
But it happened a way sooner than I had expected.
Do you have time for a few quick Twitter questions from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast?
Oh, absolutely. I welcome them. I absolutely. I'm ready.
Okay. Here's one from Jules at Jules 822-06744. That's a mouthful. Who, if anyone on the Epoch team, would you like to see win, or are you rooting now for Team Kronos? I think this is a great question.
It's a great question, and it's something I've already made up in my mind from just the investigation and what I have been able to see what's going on, and asking questions that I've been able to ask some of the staff and crew, is Angela. Angela was true to me. Angela was very nurturing. She's playing a good game. She's trying to, you know, stay low on the radar. She proved herself in a physical combat. That's why we put her in. The strategy to that was she was going to go in and beat Rachel. We knew that. That was one of the weak players. So she followed. She was a great team member, and I hope to see her take it to the top as well. On the Epoch side, everyone else I care very little for.
And you do get a say in this because you could get people to be tweeting about Angela, how great she is.
Move Angela to the top, America. Angela is a darling. She's very sweet. She deserves this.
And who do you want to see on the bottom?
On the bottom on the Epoch side?
Either side.
Well, let me give you my prediction. I'm for Jesse. With the rivalry, I think Jesse has done something in the show that I've witnessed that the producers told us about in the beginning. Is he's evolving as a person. He's kind of young. He's done a lot of different things, but he's been challenged with, you know, being hated and his team outcasting him. He actually cooked a very wonderful meal for his team, prepared it and served it to them that you didn't get to see. He wrote a 3-page letter on how he felt about Charles and the incident. He has just evolved. I mean, when he first came, he was very arrogant. You could see it. He was a rock star type guy. And now even his hairstyle has changed. You know, he used to pop it up and look all crazy, but now he's subdued. We went at it. We actually had a conversation before we went to that battle, and we made amends because we recognized that we were going to be thrown in this together at some point, perhaps, and we were going to be sportsmen about it. Nobody was going to get hurt or anything. And I'm for Jesse. I'm for Jesse and Angela to the end.
Yeah. I think he also realizes what America wants to see and doesn't want to see, and I think he has changed his personality a bit. I think that whole thing with Charles was a big turning point for him.
Yeah, I think it did. It really changed the game, you know, and that's why I was really upset in the beginning, because Charles was a battle buddy.
Yeah.
And had you had these two strategic, tactical, military guys going into this game, we'd have owned it. And Charles and I had made an alliance back in the first time we met in the hotel, and production was being, you know, we weren't even decided on yet. And we were like, man, you and I, you know, Semper Fi buddies, you know, battle buddies, we're going to do this. And for him to get knocked out changed the game for me. I'm here where I'm at because he wasn't there. And yes, we blamed Jesse for that. I wanted to seek revenge and get Jesse out for Charles. Now, the way I feel about Jesse is I want Jesse, and I did, I want to keep Jesse there and have the battle of the century and build that up. since that wasn't happening, I want Jesse to stay there and keep Team Epoch in the past and then annihilate them all the way down to Angela, obviously.
Have you talked to Charles since you've been out of the, I was going to say house, but it's more of a cave?
Yeah, it's my cave life, man. I'm getting some stickers and T-shirts, cave life, because that's how I lived that whole show. And I actually embraced it. I think at one point the producers thought we were having too much fun, and they turned the air conditioner up on us in the middle of the night. But anyway, they made it colder than necessary. But yeah, I have talked to Charles, and my wife has actually made a bond with JR's wife. So there's been a lot of contact. I haven't heard much from Rachel, but Charles is healing well. I really wanted to make him proud by beating Jesse. That's why I wish I could have won that, beat Jesse, dominated, but then turn around and gave Jesse the stay. But I wasn't guaranteed that. You know, if I had won, they'd have made me stay, and they probably wouldn't have let me allow Jesse to stay in there and annihilate Epoch. So we talked about that, and I think he still has. I mean, if you break my leg, I'm still going to hate you no matter what you do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that he's a warrior. He's a warrior to the end. You know, he's not happy about it, but we have talked.
A question from Juan Rivera on Twitter. He wants to know, are there any showmances? Was there anything that you saw while with Team Epoch or through the glass on Team Kronos? Are there any romances that we're not seeing in the show?
No, I got to tell you, looking through the glass, I don't think that there's a character on that side that we pair up one with the other. They were all so very different that it was kind of an obvious thing. Now, however, on our side, I think that it could have been construed in the beginning. I was on fire watch one night, and everyone was sleeping on the outside. And this was even before the show started filming. Like I said, we were there 7, 8, 9 days or something before the show filmed, and we were suffering. And we had to start the fire, which they did film that side of it. And I went in, I was sleeping by the fire to keep the fire going. And one by one, people started coming in there. And if you see where we're at now, everybody's sleeping by the fire. And Angela had come in, and I got her a haystack, and we slept side by side. Then JR came in. And if you guys, if someone had seen that, you'd have thought, oh, no, what's going on? In fact, the production the very next day had us sign some stuff about if we were going to have sex, we would use the condoms provided. So they brought condoms in.
Oh, no.
And we thought that was, we thought that was pretty funny. So we actually started blowing the condoms up. We made a chandelier. We were having fun. And then, of course, production realized, well, no romance going on here. And they took the condoms back.
Yeah, there should be no condoms in the past side of the house. That should only be in the future side of the house. You should have to rely on the prehistoric methods of birth control in the past side of the house.
Yeah, we'd be popping babies out of there like real cavemen. But no, there was, I'm happily married. JR has a fiance he's very happy with. And that's what I said was funny about it. You know, between JR and I was little Angela, but Angela was at best 100 pounds and she was freezing to death. And so the only thing we could do is what I earned from the military, nut to butt. You know, you had to get in there and hug up. We were laying on the floor like that. And that was the only way to stay warm.
Yeah.
But America got to see that. I think that they would have probably assumed a romance, but Angela was very respectful. She has a guy back home. She don't want to embarrass that situation or lose it. And everybody over there, the only two girls that have somewhat questionable desires would be Lauren and Sam, who was kind of, that's why. Let me tell you, America, the real reason I think Steve is there is Steve comes in and Steve starts singing Backstreet Boys love songs and stuff, and these girls start getting what we consider moist, and they're excited about him. And
oh, no.
I think that is why the old man is out, is because he comes in, starts talking about his large size 12 feet that led to the package talk, and Lauren got excited. So you might see some romance between those two, is my prediction.
Condoms might need
to return to the scene.
So who are you predicting a romance for, Steve? And his size 12
feet. Lauren.
And Lauren. Okay, who's that?
Yeah.
And hopefully
the condoms may need to come back. Bring the condoms back, because we don't know what's going to happen there. Obviously, there was such a strong relationship, they outed me.
Yeah.
And I brought a lot to the table. So that's got to be evidence.
All right, one last question. Yeah. This is a lot of people wanted to talk about this. This is from the Gentle Reader on Twitter. He wants to know, what the hell is up with that show? How can you throw sandwiches and talk through glass without anyone catching on? Now, a lot of people wanted to know, it seemed like Jeffrey was talking very loud on, I forget if that was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, that he was throwing, that we saw the, for the first time, him throwing the sandwiches over the wall. Like, he was like, these are for you, you know, I want you guys to do good. Nobody from the Team Kronos heard what he was doing?
Well, on the set, the outside, the back door is very remote from the normal side. So that may have been under, you know, going down, and it may, you know, who knows how that was being followed by production. But yeah, it's remote. It's far back. You know, you have to walk pretty distance. There's a door, and it did seem very comfortable, so I don't know. I'm assuming, you know, how that went down, but yeah, it was risky.
Okay. Wyatt, do you have a Twitter or anything that you want to tell people how to, you know, keep in touch with you and follow what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a, at WW711 is Twitter. I have two Facebook things. I just opened up kind of a fan page, which is Wyatt Warneth at Opposite Worlds, or just my plain, I've opened up my personal Facebook. It's just Wyatt Warneth, and I have actually answered a lot of questions. As soon as I opened it up, I got inundated with instant messenger questions, and I'm happy to answer the questions. The whole thing I went into this, and is, you know, the money, it's really not a whole lot of money in the scheme of things, and it's not worth it getting hurt. And for me, it was all about keeping my integrity, making my family proud, the community that I'm from, Cocoa Beach, proud. And, you know, I think I represented myself. Other than this crybaby stuff, hopefully everyone recognizes that, you know, I was upset naturally, and you would be too. It's kind of like back to the battle buddy. If you're in a foxhole with a battle buddy and he does not have your six, you're either going to shoot him or get out of the hole and find another better battle buddy. It's no bullshit.
Yeah.
You don't try to be nice and cry crocodile tears and hug these people and tell them, you know, when you get shot, oh, I love you. No, it's your fault I got shot, bitch. Get out of my face.
Wyatt, don't let it bum you out too much, because everybody talks tough on Twitter. You know, nobody would say that to your face. They're too smart for that.
No, I appreciate it. I love America. I think it was a great experience for me. You know, I don't have any ill will towards everyone. I just think that, you know, the best players should come out, and people who are really genuine are, like I said, Angela, and I hope she wins it. And Jesse, I'd like to see Jesse go to the end just merely because of the fact that he could, you know, annihilate the other side.
Real quick, how about Frank? You want to see Frank do well, or you want to see him out soon?
No, I think Frank's got his own issues. You know, I had a conversation with Frank and about the injuries after Charles, and I was really disappointed in the fact that we talked about no injuries. We're rescuers. I came from a emergency rescue side and saving people and all this stuff. And I kind of connected a little bit through the window. And then the very friggin' next day, he goes out there and throws a 90-mile-an-hour ripe green tomato like a wood at Steve's face. So he disappointed with that. So I think America's got that one called.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably on his oust. He's already done his protected side, and he should be. I don't think he's going to do too well in any of the one-on-one Duel of Destinies because he's kind of clumsy. And a lot of people are not. Let me clear this out, too. The night that I took him on the podium, he fell going up the podium. I had a righteous chance, had all the circumstances with Charles getting hurt, Lauren getting hurt, and it really cool. We're out there at 4 o'clock in the morning. My thing going up in that stadium is I'm not getting hurt. I jumped off. I was like, okay, this is not sacrificial for it. This is not going to hurt me in the long run. I'm not going to get eliminated. There's no sense of me going up there and romping around and breaking a leg or something. And, you know, he's not that difficult to deal with as far as in a competition. I think he could be taken out. So his time's coming.
Okay, well, it's going to be fun to see. All right, Wyatt, thank you so much for coming on with us. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time. And again, all the best to you, Wyatt.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and keep up a great show. I've watched your stuff, and you guys are right on, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. There was Wyatt from Opposite Worlds, who was a very good interview. You know, and I'm not surprised because he was good on the show. So it was sad to see Wyatt go. But we've got 4 more weeks of Opposite Worlds. I don't know how they're going to get rid of everybody still in the game. I think there's like 11 people still left on the show, and the finale is in 4 weeks. So we'll see how they figure that out. That's not our problem. We're just going to podcast about the show, and we'll let them figure out how they're going to do all this. So we have got a lot coming up in the next few days here on Rob as a Podcast. Oh, yeah, one more note on Opposite Worlds. So it just came across my desk here that they're going to move up the time on Opposite Worlds. And let me give a hat tip to the person that tweeted this to me. This was from Rojeezy on Twitter, who retweeted TV by the Numbers, who says, Opposite Worlds elimination shows shift to 8 p.m. Wednesday starting February 5th, which is fine by me. So that's going to be a little earlier. We're going to do our recap then right after the show. So that'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern and then 5 p.m. Pacific. So then look for our recap show around 9:05 Eastern, 6:05 p.m. Pacific, which is fine up until the finale, which I believe then will go up against the 2-hour premiere of Survivor, which I think will be a mistake for Opposite Worlds to go head to head with Survivor for a number of different reasons. One, it would be harder for me to watch. And I think that most of the people who are watching the show will probably, if you look at the Venn diagram of Survivor, people who watch Survivor and people who watch Opposite Worlds, I think you're going to see one very large circle with another smaller circle, sort of a nipple living on the larger circle with only a little bit of a protrusion there. So we'll see. I think that would be a mistake, but we'll see how they handle that. That's not for a few weeks, so we won't worry about that either. Okay, so next week coming up, we have got a big, big week, which is kicking off with the two-night Miss and Mr. Survivor Live Results Spectacular. Monday night, February 3rd, Nicole, myself, the tabulator, Kurt Clark, we are getting together, and we are going to count down to the final three and give you your three finalists for this year's Miss Survivor. And then on Tuesday, February 4th, we're going to do it all over again, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, live. We are going to count down and get you down to your top three finalists for Mr. Survivor. So we will know our finalists after Monday and Tuesday of next week. And then the following week will be the big interview week, where we'll then have a interview, like 20-minute interview, with everybody who's in the top three for Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor. So that's going to be all coming up there in the first couple days. Then on Wednesday, we are going to be working on our live show for Opposite Worlds. We'll have the third Duel of Destiny, and then Kurt will be back one more time, and then we'll bring in Brian Lynch as well. And that'll be on Wednesday night now at 9:05 p.m. Eastern, 6:05 p.m. Pacific, to talk about week three of Opposite Worlds live with you guys on a Google Hangout. And then, of course, then we have starting to get into The Walking Dead here. We may have some Walking Dead preview show then on Thursday with Josh Wigler. So a lot coming up this upcoming week. Once we get through the Super Bowl, it's going to be a very, very fun week on Rob as a Podcast, and plenty of other surprises along the way. I'm very much excited for it. So if you want to be part of all the fun, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. We always appreciate when you give us comments and feedback on our iTunes page as well. That really helps us out with people finding the podcast. That's at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And if you want to make sure you're ready for all of the fun we're going to have live, subscribe to our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. I hope everybody out there has a great weekend. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, of course, the video of the Survivor roast of Rob Cisternino is now available. If you want to check that out, it's $4.99 on Vimeo. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/roast video or click the roast video banner in the sidebar. If you're thinking of renting a movie at some point this weekend, I think you could do a lot worse than the Survivor roast. It was a very, very funny night. If you enjoy jokes about Survivors, I think you'll definitely enjoy the roast. So have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and I'll be tweeting away during the Super Bowl if you want to follow what I have to say and what everybody else has to say. It's going to be a lot of fun. So have a great weekend. Enjoy your Super Bowl party. Drive safely, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.